My name is Ishmael Roll. It is October 3rd at 2:25. It's pretty sunny outside, and I am here with Brianna Lynn to interview you about your time with COVID. So, for starters, can you just give us your full name?
My name is Brianna Lynn Biagini.
Fantastic. And what do you do on a daily?
On daily, schoolwork.
You're a student?
Yeah, full-time student. I also scroll through TikTok for a couple hours a day. I also stare into the fridge being like, what am I going to eat today? So,
tell me, do you live on campus?
Yes, I do live on campus.
Wonderful. And do you enjoy it?
Yes, I very much enjoy it. It's very close to everything, and it's just been like a little fun adventure every day.
Before you lived on campus, where'd you live?
I lived in my hometown of Port St. Joe, Florida, seven and a half hours from campus. Small town, smaller than the population of the school. So,
did you enjoy your time at your hometown?
No, not at all. Too tiny, nothing to do. Just sit there and stare at walls.
Well, and were you staring at walls when you first heard about COVID?
The start of COVID, I was basically just going through every day doing schoolwork, and I did get a job pet sitting, so that took up a bit of my time, so I had different walls to look at, but I was also playing soccer full-time in the afternoons.
Awesome. Well, how old were you when COVID hit?
COVID hit. I think I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah. COVID hit in March. My birthday's in March, so I don't remember exactly if I was 15 or 16, but later 15, early 16.
Interesting. So when COVID first hit, since it was around your birthday, what were your initial thoughts when you first heard about it?
Well, I kind of saw it coming because every, 17, 20, there was a pandemic. 18, 20, there was a pandemic. 1920, there was a pandemic, so I was like, 2020 is next year. There's going to be a pandemic. Like, it happened. So I was like, oh, here it is. It happened. Okay. Great.
And what concerned you most about it?
If my mom got it, she'd most likely die just because she's older, so that'd leave me as an orphan. So I was like, I don't want that. But inheritance. So.
So, let's talk about a little bit about your family.
Okay.
All right, so tell us about your mom.
My mom is not actually biologically related to me. I am a test tube baby. So, my mom basically paid for me. And then, basically, I got implanted in her. Then she carried me for 9 months, well, 8 months, then gave birth to me via C-section a month early. So.
Wow, that's a heck of a birth story.
Yeah. Not like more normal people, just like, hi, I'm here in a test tube, sat in a test tube for like 20 to 40 years, just frozen.
Has this affected you at all? Like.
It does, because it's kind of like, technically I'm like 20 years older than I actually am, so at least, I don't know exactly how long I was in ice, so I'm like,
wait, how does that work?
Basically there was a family a long time ago that had trouble conceiving naturally, so they kind of just like egg, sperm, it's extracted and then under a microscope injected. So then you're an egg, and then they freeze you until the family is ready to try, and then they unfreeze you and put you into the mother, and if it works, the mother gets pregnant, and along with birth and pregnancy. But they had enough kids to the point where, like, okay, we have enough kids, we're done, we still have some frozen, so we're gonna donate it to other people because we know it works. So then I was donated. I guess I wasn't used for a couple of years, 20, 40 years, I don't know. And then my mom got a hold of me. So
has this affected any of relationships in your life?
Not really, because my mom didn't want me to talk about it when I was in high school, but now I'm kind of just out from underneath the roof, and I'm just like, yeah, I was frozen for like 20 to 40 years, and then I thawed out, and then I made it, and now I'm here. Because it's like a lot of different odds to fight against, and I made them all, so.
So how was your relationship with your mother?
There wasn't very much of one, seeing as my mom was single, and most of her family was dead, and she was older. She was 48 when she had me, so she doesn't really talk to her brother or anyone on his side, just because there was a lot of conflict between them growing up. So it's just my mom and her one friend, who is my godmother, but I call her my aunt. Mm-hmm. So, just about that. And since my mom was single, she worked a lot to support me. So she was always working, like constantly, either in her vet clinic or renovating a house or renting a house or whatever. So I didn't get to spend a lot of time with her. I still don't get to spend a lot of time with her. And the times I do spend with her, it's more of her lecturing me on school because I wasn't doing enough to her standards. Mm. But also, since I don't share her same genetics, she doesn't know about my learning disabilities that I have. So she kind of treated me like a normal child that didn't have any and expected me to do better. So that put a lot of strain because she would keep me up late at night and wake me up really early. So, like, a lot of conflict because a child needs their sleep, and I was getting, like, 4 to 5 hours of sleep as a 6-year-old.
Did COVID affect you guys' relationship at all when it hit?
It did affect our relationship because it was basically a big excuse for my mother to keep me indoors. So, normally I would, like, I wouldn't leave the house a lot, but I would go out with friends, and it'd be like, hey, I'm going out with friends, and my mom's like, okay, what time are you going to be back? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe this time, and she'd be like, all right. And then COVID hit, and my mom was like, you're not allowed to leave at all for whatever reason, so.
So a lot of those activities that you did with your friends,
kind of just stopped, and then as COVID went later and later, it was like, okay, something needs to change because I'm just sitting in a box, a square room, basically a box doing schoolwork and then nothing else. So then I would basically leave the house and do like 2 hours of working out, biking, just straight biking for like 20 miles every day. That helped because it'd get me out of the house, and my mom was still working at the time, renovating the house and renovating our rental house. During that time, I also made new friends, and my mom kind of did push one of these friends on me just because she also picked up RV lots, and one of the renters had a kid my age who also played soccer at the time, so we all would go out to the soccer field and play, and that's how I met those friends. And like later months, like before school, like later summer, like June and July, like we would hang out like every day, and that did put a strain on my relationship with my mother because it showed just how controlling she is.
Let's change topics a little bit.
Okay.
Did you know many people in the community where you lived?
I did know a lot of people, but I didn't know them personally. I'd know their names and like what they would do, just because they were, like, important people of the town.
Gotcha.
Or people with, like, a lot of money and high standing, because my town was very much a hierarchy of money and status.
Wow. And where did you guys fit into this hierarchy?
There was a great divide, like, between the people with money and without money. So, like, these two, the divide was, like, people without money would hang out with those people, and then the people with money were basically one giant family. But since me and my mother had money, we did fit in that higher standing, but we weren't related to anyone, so we basically were just like an outcast.
That must have been hard.
Yeah.
So you were watching, you didn't really interact deeply with your surrounding community, but as soon when the pandemic hit, did you see any differences in them?
I didn't see like the other like higher up people just because they would stay home because a lot of them are older and vulnerable to the pandemic. So they would stay home and my mom would keep me at home. But I did find other outcasts that just didn't care and people from out of town. So it's like, okay, so the whole like outcast, we made our own like little group.
So among the outcasts or the upper or lower part of this hierarchy, did you notice any group in particular kind of change their minds about the pandemic one way or the other?
Honestly, with this group, it didn't care about money. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole hierarchy thing was, like, out the window. No one cared. And with the pandemic, we're like, okay, we're our own little group. We're just gonna stick together. Mm-hmm. Like, if we went out, we were out together, like, out in the town. We were all together. And we were just like, COVID, screw that. It's a small enough town. We have, like, one case. So we were all like, okay, just wear a mask, hand sanitizer. It didn't really, COVID was more of, like, just, like, a giant shutdown. And there weren't many cases.
Did you know anybody personally who even got COVID? That one case in your town, for example. Did you know them?
I did not, but later on I did end up getting COVID myself, so.
And how was that?
It was a trip. Basically, I should have been hospitalized because it was really bad for me, but my mom didn't really pay attention to that, so I kind of just slept through the whole thing.
Could you talk a little bit about what you were feeling?
Basically, since I slept through a lot of it, I don't remember the times, like, I actually having it, besides, like, barely being able to breathe, being very lightheaded a lot. And that's, like, during it. But after, I really saw that my breathing had been affected and my lung capacity was much smaller.
What was going through your head when you realized that you had COVID?
It was kind of, like, a big shock. Since I did not interact with anyone outside of my little group. Mm. And I was the only one in that group to get it. So it was like, how did I get it? I still don't know how I got it. And it's like, well, this is fun. Now I can't even hang out with my friends.
How long were you bedridden for?
Probably 2 weeks. Like, I slept through one straight week. Just completely slept through it. And next week I was kind of up and down, but still mostly in bed.
And did it change your friend's reaction when you got back to them?
Getting back together was more hesitant because I got COVID in December. Mm-hmm. So by that time, school had started, and my friend from out of town went back to Ohio where he lives. And then my other friend moved to Tallahassee to go to FSU. So it literally left me and my best friend who lives down the street. And since I got COVID, she wasn't allowed to see me just because her parents are also just a tad bit older. Not as old as mine, but they're like in their mid-50s.
Did you guys still manage to keep contact, though?
Oh, yeah, we still keep contact to this day. I'm not so close with my friend who lived down the street just because she's been ignoring me.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Moving to college, right?
Yeah.
How did COVID affect your kind of decision on where to go to for college?
It didn't, just because I was like, I'm going to do my own thing in college. So my mom was like very hesitant on me going far away for college just because she didn't want me to get out from underneath her roof. And she was like, COVID reasons. And I'm like, COVID is almost gone, basically. It's been 2 years. Everyone's either getting a vaccine or like really cracking down on it. And it's like, you don't hear about a lot new cases and everyone's basically vaccinated or has had it. So for me, I was like, I'm going to go to college where I like the campus. So.
Is that why you chose this college?
I chose this college just because I can walk all the way around campus. I could bike it. It's not that big of a town. It's not a big culture shock, but it's still a bit of one just because there's so many more people. And I liked how I could could live on campus, and that the on-campus dorms were pretty close to campus, and that there's a bus system that takes you off campus to a mall and a shopping center.
Nice. Did any of your friends from your hometown come with you?
No. Since I was homeschooled, I also didn't, like, get along with people in high school, because we only had one high school, and I didn't know my graduating class, so I knew, like, maybe two people, so I don't know where anyone in my graduating class went.
Interesting. So it's being on campus, has the pandemic, like, impacted your life at all?
No, not at all. Like, I do keep my mask on when I go to classes just because some of my friends are immune compromised. Just so I keep my mask on just to protect them.
Nice. So tell me a little bit more about how you learned about, like, where you got your information from through the pandemic. Was it, like, the news or?
I don't trust the news just because it's really, really biased with politics, and I don't like to get involved in politics because it's just, there's too much there. So I'm like, screw the news, I'm gonna go into, like, my own research. So I found a person on TikTok who really did a lot of research on the pandemic and didn't pay attention to the news, so they were giving, like, raw information from, like, health sites and everything, and, like, the government. So I would keep an eye on that, and I'd also do my own research on some of the same sites that he was looking at.
And you have that same source from the beginning up till now?
Yeah.
Just about?
Yeah. That person is no longer doing it just because they were shut down by TikTok for TikTok being annoying and, like, you're too political, even though there's no politics in it.
What information do you think that the main source media, mainstream media, what topics do you think that they're avoiding or they're over-covering?
An event and basically look at it only from one side and say, like, the one side we're looking at is the good side and the other side's the bad side, and not actually looking at what's happening.
Right.
So I'm like, that's not actually what happened. You can literally go onto TikTok and find videos of people who are actually there just recording what actually happened.
And do you feel like government leaders reacted pretty well to the pandemic?
Some of them did, others were basically influenced by politics, even though the political stance should have been taken out of it and it should have been dealt with maturely, like how an adult should handle their child getting sick.
Let's say that we give you the power of the president. How would you have reacted to the pandemic as soon as you heard about it?
As soon as I heard about it, I would have probably shut down the borders, just so, like, you can't get the COVID into the country. But if COVID did get into the country, I would say everything would be shut down. The only thing open would probably be hospitals, open to patients who still need to obviously see healthcare, and probably keep the grocery stores open, but at, like, 50 or 25% capacity. Restaurants, I'd probably just say, hey, like, 10% capacity, like, keep it very minimal. And since people would probably be getting laid off of work, I'd say, okay, I'd forgive, like, anyone who's got, like, a mortgage, that's on hold, like, no interest on that, everything's on hold, that besides, like, electrical bills, just because you'll be using more of it, and probably AC, but cut that down a little bit. And if people are living from paycheck to paycheck, be like, okay, here's a stimulus to help pay for, like, food and gas. So basically, just, like, everyone stay home, stay safe, like, and keep your hands washed, wear a mask, and try to get a vaccine made that's actually a safe one.
Do you think that since the pandemic hit that some people have been acting a little irrational about it, or do you think most people are pretty much treating it the way that they ought to be treating it?
There are some people who are overreacting to, like, with the point, like, if someone is standing 6 feet away, they're like, oh, you're standing too close, put a mask on. Even though they have a mask on, they're overreacting. But there are some people who are underreacting, such as going out every night, going to restaurants and not caring and not putting a mask on and not social distancing.
How do you feel the pandemic has been affecting, on your campus, for example, people's mental and physical activity?
I do feel that for some people it limits their physical activity, but for other people it kind of enhances it because other things are closed, so they don't have like other things to do, so like they can exercise. And for some people it might affect their mental health, as in they don't feel safe going to a gym or exercising outside, so they might feel kind of mentally drained because they're sitting in their dorm room all day.
Nice. All right, we're gonna take it back a little bit. You mentioned that you had a job as a pet sitter, correct? Mm-hmm. Tell me about your job before pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, I started my job January 2020. Very funny. Didn't last very long. Basically, people would travel a lot, so I'd just stay in their house, watch their pets. If they had plants, I'd water the plants. Or if they had, literally was like, hey, I'm leaving town, but I have this worker coming in, I'd be like, okay, I can come and watch over them. And I'd get paid for that. It paid really well. I really helped some people, because one of my clients, they had a daughter in Texas who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So I was like, hey, if you need to go, I can watch your pets. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about payment. We'll talk about that when you get back and everything's settled. They'd literally go for like a week and be like, okay, hey, there's another doctor's appointment. Could you stay for a couple more days? And be like, yeah, take care of what you need to. So it really helped people. But then when COVID hit, it was like they couldn't travel because traveling got shut down. So basically everyone was staying home, so no one needed their pets to be watched. So basically COVID hit, my company died.
Well, do you have any fun stories from your time pet sitting? Any interesting pets, any interesting houses you've been in?
The most interesting thing is most of my clients had small dogs, either a Chihuahua, Pomeranian, or a mix of both. But yeah, it was either a Chihuahua, Pomeranian, or a mix. A mix of a Chihuahua and a Pomeranian. And I'm like, tiny dogs! People like tiny dogs! I'm like, everyone had a tiny dog.
Did you ever own any pets?
I had two pets. My cat most recently died back in June. He was 22 and 4 months. And I currently have a dog, a 11-year-old golden retriever. He's on the bigger side of golden retrievers at like 105 pounds.
Nice. And how long have you had him?
I've had my golden retriever for 11 years. We had him since he was like 6 weeks.
So you really raised him from...
Yeah, and he's a very sweet boy. He'll stand at the door and like look in and be like, can I come in? And you just gotta motion for him to come in, and he'll come in and just plop his head on your lap.
And how has he been handling the pandemic?
He really liked the pandemic just because I got to stay home more. Mm-hmm. So he'd get more attention, and whenever I was going out, I'd take him for a walk just to get some exercise. So he got more attention, more exercise. He really enjoyed the pandemic.
Nice. So, since you've lived through this pandemic, you've had kind of an interesting upbringing. How has this experience really affected the way that you think about your family, your friends, the people around you, your college?
COVID has really had me looking more at like who people are and kind of like how they react to things, and it has helped to show me that how I actually read people is differently than how other people do it. So before, it's like I would, like, look at people's, like, posture and how their face is and, like, the words that they are saying. Now, during COVID, I was, like, people would wear masks so you couldn't see their face. So it was, like, okay, how can I read you? And that's how I picked up on reading people's energies and kind of, like, their whole vibe that's coming off of them.
And have you been using the skill?
I've continued using the skill, and it really helps me when I walk into a room or into a group of people. I'm like, okay, what's the whole vibe of the group? Is it, like, upset if, like, something, like, someone just got hurt? Or is it, like, really happy about, like, someone's birthday party and everyone's excited?
Interesting. Before the pandemic, what would you say was the biggest event in your life?
Before pandemic, the biggest event was probably soccer.
Yes, you mentioned that you played a lot of soccer, a lot of your friends soccer. So soccer's been a big part of your life?
Yes, my high school life, it's been a huge part. Before high school, it was dance and traveling. It was, like, dance for 8 years, then we traveled for, like, a couple of months, maybe a year, and then soccer.
Nice. What kind of experience did you have while playing soccer?
Through soccer, you can easily find the people that are really interested in soccer or a specific thing, and the people who are just there to just get extra credit or just to hang out and not care. Mm-hmm. So.
And going back to dance, mm-hmm. Anything interesting there?
I don't remember much of dance just because I blank out a lot on my younger years. But most of my dance was just an escape. It wasn't much feeling was put into it. So with dance, you're supposed to spend 2 years in each class. For me, it took me 3 years in each class to get through it because I didn't care.
What were you trying to escape from?
Basically, my mother, because she put a lot of pressure on me because, again, we were younger and the only interaction was school. So, like, a lot of times I'd come home and I'd get a B on a test, and my mom's like, that's not good enough, you have to get an A. So, like, she would push me to study on that subject. But since she didn't know I had ADHD and I can't study at night, she was pushing something that wasn't working. So it was a lot of conflict. So my dance was basically a way for me literally to go from school straight to something else.
And did you find that same kind of escape in soccer?
I did. It was the same escape, but it was also something that I was actually interested in. So it was an escape and something exciting and fun, and I can just completely just forget the outside world.
Your mother's played a pretty big role in your development. Do you, even after you've moved out, do you feel like she still kind of has an effect over you?
Yes, very much so. Basically, it's like, I feel like she's got, like, a hand over my head with, like, strings attached. Just like, you can't do that because it's not good. And I'm like, it's literally hanging with friends till midnight because that's okay. I'm like, it's okay to hang out with friends, but I feel like I have to go back to my room and study for something I understand and I'm doing fine in.
And you also mentioned that you had a godmother who you refer to as your aunt. Can you tell me a little bit about her?
I've known her for basically my entire life, and she was great friends with my mom. She still is. She's older than my mom by 10 years. She's 77. I love her dearly. She was a teacher. Anytime I go to her house, it's like a safe zone.
And did she ever take you out to go do all sorts of things?
Since she lived 7.5 hours from my mom, the only times I really got to see her were my birthdays and sometimes Christmas. And when I did see her, we would go out and go to, like, festivals or just hang out and do something fun in the house.
Awesome. Did she teach you anything? Any kind of skills, any new shows, maybe?
She taught me a lot that if you want to do something, just go do it. Like, traveling, like, all who wander are not lost. So she's like, yeah, I'm going to go do this next month and just go hike in a mountain. And I'm like, that's really cool. So she's like, yeah, I'm just going with the flow every day. If someone invites me to do something, I'm like, yeah, if I have time to do it, I'm going to go do it. So I'm like, yeah.
Do you feel like there was, like, that your mom and your aunt were kind of like the opposite sides of the same coin?
Yeah, because my mom was really controlling and my aunt is like really just go with the flow, don't really care.
Did you have any other relatives in your life?
From the ages of birth to 4, I had my grandmother from my mom. She was really nice. I don't remember much of her. I only have 2 memories. One memory is pulling into my grandmother's house, the driveway, and going through the garage door and just running around the counter and just jumping into her arms. And the other one is a sadder one. It's coming out of elevators in a hospital, going past the reception's desk and into her hospital room.
So you remember those 2 events pretty clearly.
Yeah, but I know that grandmother was really kind and I spent a lot of time with her whenever I could.
Do you have any relatives that you wish that you connected with a little bit more? Or that you wish you had contact with to this day?
The only other relative I would like to have met would probably have been my grandfather, just because he was a really, from the stories that I've heard, he was a really honest person and really, like, kind and, like, trustworthy.
So you didn't have a ton of familial connections through your life. Mm-hmm. Do you think that your friends might have kind of replaced your family in a way? Or at least the family connections that you didn't have?
Yeah, there are a few people that I would consider, like, my siblings at times, but, like, as soon as I'd consider them my sibling, they'd basically back off and, like, disappear. Hmm. So.
Is there anyone who you've known, outside of your family, I mean, who you've known from, like, super young and you still keep contact to this day and you still have that strong connection?
There's currently probably 2. One, my friend who lives down the street, but things are kind of fizzling out now. And then I have my other friend who lives like 45 minutes from campus, who I just got back from a birthday party with. But I don't talk to her a lot, but she's the only other person that I've known since a kind of young age.
So you've been through a lot, right?
Yeah.
Everything from your family, living through this pandemic, you know, with your friends and all that. Where do you see yourself in a year from now?
Year from now, probably over in Northlake, hanging out with friends I've met from college, going through classes.
And do you think these friends from college, you think that they're going to be with you for a pretty long time?
Yes, because I connect with them a lot more than I've connected with other people. Mm-hmm. I've gotten really close to them really, really quickly, and it's like, we all vibe together. We all have the same energy, so we all kind of just click.
Nice. You feel like this pandemic's going to be gone by the time you get to Northlake?
I hope so. I don't know. It might still be like something like the flu that comes back, but it might like fizzle out. I don't really know. It feels like it's fizzling out, but it's still here.
So, knowing everything that you do now, right? And let's say that you could go back to the beginning of the pandemic, what would you change?
What would I change? I'd probably tell my younger self to be like, hey, try not to spend as much money. Try to just take that money and literally just put it to the side and not touch it till you get to college, because you'll need it in college for like the first couple months. But I'd also tell my younger self, hey, work on yourself more. Focus on yourself more. Because going through the whole pandemic, there was a lot of sketchy months where I didn't know if I was going to make it till the next day. So.
Do you feel like this time in the pandemic has helped you learn anything else about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've learned a lot about myself. I've basically stopped trying to caretake for everyone and try to take care of myself a bit more. And focus on improving my health and my mental health.
Thanks. Well, I think that's it.
Okay.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. I'm here with